On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
Lord, as we gather this morning and we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, just give us revelation from your word. Father, let us leave this morning having heard clearly what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, I'm starting a little mini three-week series on the Christmas story. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we know that as the love chapter. And the Apostle Paul ends that chapter by saying this: "But now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." I call this the big three. I'm not talking about GM, Ford, and Toyota, Chrysler, you know. And but I believe that faith, hope, and love are the three greatest qualities that a Christian can possess, all right? And the Christmas story embodies all three of these characteristics. We're going to look at it from the viewpoint of faith. This week, next week, we're going to look at it from the viewpoint of hope. And then the final week, we're going to look at it from the viewpoint of how love fits into the Christmas story. So we're going to take a look at what I call some lessons in faith that the Christmas story can teach us. So let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 1. And the first lesson is this, that we're going to learn from the Christmas story, is that faith removes doubt. Faith can remove doubt in our life. Matthew 1, 18 and 19. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child by the Holy Spirit." Now, this verse of Scripture challenges the logical thinker. Guys most often think logically, women think emotionally, but some women think logically, some men think emotionally, but for the most part, this portion of Scripture, if you really think it through, it's going to challenge the logical thinker, because the logical thinker, we deal in facts. And there are three facts given in verse 18. One is that Mary was engaged. Okay. Mary and Joseph have been betrothed, and engagement is it's a legal engagement. So you really have to go through a type of divorce to end this engagement. So it's a very, very serious engagement. The second fact is that they're both virgins. They said before they came together, meaning sexually. So Mary and Joseph are engaged, they're virgins. And then the third one is that Mary is pregnant. And not only is she pregnant, but it's by the Holy Spirit. Now, to the logical mind, what's wrong with these facts? They don't all add up, do they? Now think about it. Mary had just returned home from a three-month stay with her Aunt Elizabeth. Okay? And Joseph, I'm sure, really is excited to see Mary, only for Mary to say, "Oh, Joseph, guess what? Got some great news for you." "Oh, really? What's that?" "I'm pregnant." "You're what?" "Oh, yeah, but, and it's by the Holy Spirit." Now, to any logical thinker, that's not going to make sense. And it's going to cause, and what it did for Joseph, it caused a lot of doubt to rise up in him toward Mary's commitment to him. Can you see that? We can all see that, right? And verse 19 shows the serious doubts that Joseph had about Mary's story. And Joseph, being a godly man, wanted to do what was right, okay? And he did not want to disgrace Mary. He did not want to disgrace Mary, but he's torn because he knows that he's not had sexual relations with Mary, but yet she's pregnant, so she had to cheat on him. The story of being pregnant by the Holy Spirit, couldn't you come up with something better? You know, I mean, any of us would wrestle with that because that has never happened before. So Joseph made a logical decision. I am going to divorce Mary, but I'm going to do it quietly. You see, according to the law, he could have had her stoned for adultery, because you don't get pregnant otherwise. He wanted her to save face, and he still loved her, but he's brokenhearted. She cheated on him. I mean, that's the only conclusion he could logically reach. And then one night, everything changed, and all of his doubts disappeared. I think we got the verses up there, so let's read them. But when he, Joseph, had considered this, behold, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. In one night, everything changed for Joseph. All the doubts that he had dissipated. God spoke a clear word to Joseph in a dream, and he used an angel to do it. And because of Joseph hearing that clear word from the Lord, faith rose up in him. And when faith rises up in us, it can wash away all the doubt that we have. The doubt that has been birthed through logic. Now, logic isn't a bad thing, but when logic and what God is doing collide, and oftentimes they will, we can logically look at something and say, it doesn't add up, so we reject it. How many of you know God doesn't always move logically? All right? And this is one situation. But when Joseph heard a clear word from the Lord that this is a God thing, and the angel quoted scripture and showed him prophetically how this was to be, faith trumped doubt in this situation. There are people today, Christians, who fight with doubt. We look at something logically, and because it doesn't make sense to our logic, we have one of two choices. We either reject what Scripture says to be true, or we allow faith to rise up and wash away the doubt. Think of it this way. There are some people today who doubt God's love. Oh, I was such a rotten, lousy, stinking person before I got saved. I don't know how God could love me. You know, we look at ourselves logically, and we don't love ourselves. We don't even like ourselves. And we think, how can an almighty God love us? And because it doesn't make sense to us logically, we reject the love of God. And we wrestle with it. You understand what I'm saying here? I mean, that's true for just about anything. What about God's grace? His unmerited, undeserved favor in our life. You know, we haven't, maybe before we became a Christian, didn't lead the life we think we should have, and we're unworthy of God's grace, and therefore we reject it because it just, it's hard for us to comprehend that God would give us his favor when we are so unworthy of it. What about the area of healing? Well, God doesn't heal today. I was prayed for once, didn't get healed. So therefore, you know, it doesn't make sense to us, therefore we reject it rather than have faith rise up. What about the issue of speaking in tongues? I tell you what, speaking in tongues to me just does not make sense. You know, and a lot of people trip over it because they can't get past the logic of it. It's not logical. I mean, in my limited, small thinking. But yet, God has chosen to allow his people to speak in an unknown language to enhance to their prayer life. And when we look at it logically, just as Joseph looked at Mary logically and said, doesn't make sense. I'll just divorce her and put her away quietly. Doesn't make sense, this speaking in tongues. Doesn't add up. So I'm just going to, you know, just put away quietly that part of what the Bible has to say and just go on my merry way. What about tithing? That's another issue. Doesn't make sense to me. I tell you what, tithing is one of the most extraordinary ideas I think God ever had. Because it's an act of faith when we tithe, and God says, test me, I'll open up the windows of heaven, I'll pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing. But if we try to figure it out logically, you know, we're going to come to the same conclusion that Joseph did. We're just going to kind of set it off to the side quietly and put it away and ignore it. Even salvation. People will look at the whole issue of salvation. How can God save someone like me? Because it doesn't make sense to us, we tend to reject it. So you get the whole idea, right? You might say, well, hey, if I had an angel appear to me and tell me this, that would change my whole way of thinking. No, it wouldn't. Because we have something far better than a rare occurrence of an angel. Now, granted, it'd be really cool, wouldn't it? It would just scare the willies out of you. I mean, you got this 9-10 foot angelic being standing there, you know, and our... We'd probably want to recruit him to be the center of the basketball team or I don't know what position, football, but it would impact us, no doubt. But you know what? God has given us something far better. He's given us his written word. All right? We don't have to wait for an angel to appear to speak truth to us. God has given us truth in his word 24/7. But it even gets better than that. God has given us the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit 24/7. And with that, when doubt arises within us, all we have to do is just say, God, what does your word have to say? And open up his word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. And any doubt that we have in any area, God can wash it away. And when he washes it away, faith begins to arise. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And so I want to tell you, if you have doubts today about anything in your spiritual walk, get in, see what the word has to say. Study, do a word study. Get into it and listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you. And the more time we spend in the Word and the more time we spend waiting to hear what the Spirit is saying, the more faith is going to arise in us and the more doubt has to leave. Do you understand the point there? So the number one is that faith eliminates doubt. The second lesson we can learn about faith in this story is that faith produces obedience. Matthew 24, verse 24 and 25, Matthew 1. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. How many of you know that living faith is an active, obedient faith? Here we see that one moment, you know, Joseph goes to bed brokenhearted, grief-stricken, because his fiance has cheated on him, comes back from a three-month tryst, thinking it was over to see Aunt Elizabeth, but apparently it was to go and shack up with a guy for 3 months or something. Bottom line, she came back pregnant to go to bed to try to process all that. And then all of a sudden, for an angel to appear and say, hey, it is what Mary said it was. You know, and here's the scriptural backing for it. And the angel gave him the scripture. And Joseph, the Bible says that he arose from his sleep. He went to sleep troubled, and he woke up ready to act because of hearing from what from the Lord what was true. And faith arose in him, eliminated all doubt, and it said that he arose from his sleep and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He got married, he kept Mary a virgin during her pregnancy, and when the baby was born, they named him Jesus. Wow, that's quite a turnaround, isn't it? You talk about a good night's sleep. Got a question for you. Do you consider yourself a holy and obedient Christian? I think most of us would. Hope we would anyway. Jesus said in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now understand, the obedience that I'm talking about is not an obedience out of duty or obligation. It is one solely out of your love for the Lord. You know, I think of a child who dearly loves their parents. When the parent asks the child to do something, they're more than happy to do it because of the relationship that they have with the parent. And they know and trust the parent to have their best interest in mind. So Joseph obeyed immediately. There was no excuses, no procrastinating, no more doubting, because he'd already eliminated with that the issue of doubt. And so when doubt is gone and faith arises, the next step is active obedience. You see, God will speak to us when we read and study his word. Faith increases and doubt will decrease. But if we never get into his word, we never see what the Bible has to say about a topic or about an issue, about the doubts that we have, the doubts will be kept alive. But the more we open God's word and study it, the more faith will arise and the more doubt will be pushed down. And again, God will also speak to us through his Holy Spirit as we live a holy life. You know, the Bible says, do not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we do things that we know are not right, you know, when we know, we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to hear as clearly what the Spirit is saying to us if the Spirit is grieved and quenched because of unholy things that we might be doing. And let me say this, hear this clearly. Those who hear from God will not be content doing nothing. I'll say it one more time. Those who truly hear from God will not be content doing nothing. Faith must be active. For Joseph, it wasn't, oh, hey, thanks, angel, that's pretty cool. Because he believed, he had faith to believe that what Mary said was true. He had clear instruction from the Lord of what to do next. He got up from his sleep, didn't hesitate, didn't procrastinate. He went and he obeyed immediately. Faith has to be active. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. There are two other angelic appearances that caused Joseph to obey immediately. One was when Herod wanted to kill the babies, and he told Joseph, take your family now, and flee into Egypt. Not wait until the morning, not wait until now. And he got up immediately, and he fled. And then they were there for a time, and then the angel said, it's okay to return to Israel. And the amazing thing about Joseph is that he remained obedient. Obedience characterized his life. Does obedience characterize our life? We can be obedient in any given situation and, you know, feel pretty good about ourselves, pat ourselves on the back. But does obedience characterize our life from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year? Joseph moved only when God told him to move. How many would agree with the fact that we live in a mobile, restless society? A mobile, restless society. So what's important is that when we feel the need to move and to do something, how many know all activity isn't necessarily obedience? Okay? And we have to discern what it is that God is asking of us to do. And not confuse that with this restlessness and this mobility in our society. Just because we're active does not mean we're obedient. So we have to discern between the two. A good rule of thumb is this. Is to stay put and be faithful until God clearly tells you otherwise. Until he tells you otherwise. I know Amy can relate with this. Amy is, she's our bookkeeper, has been for about the last year and a half, and she is from Illinois. She moved up here, and God has spoke to her, and she'll be moving in a couple weeks back to Illinois. But I'm so excited for her and for Sharissa and Trenton and what God has done in their life for the time that they've been up here. If you know them at all, you'll know that God has done marvelous things. Sharissa, I'm excited that you had this dream of going to Africa, and it was fulfilled here. You know, and they've heard a clear word from the Lord that it's time for them to move back, to go back home. And God is opening one door after another after another. And when God speaks to you clearly, when it is time to move, he'll confirm it and confirm it and confirm it. And Amy, I've just watched how God has confirmed each thing you've done and just how you've come to life and the excitement that you have. That's what it's like when we hear from the Lord and we move according to his will and plan and purpose and timing. There's an excitement. And doors just fly open, and we go, wow, this is really cool. This is really cool. Now, compare that to allowing a sense of restlessness or boredom or, you know, we got to do something. We got to be active. Again, not all action is obedience, okay? And we force doors open or things just seem to explode in our face and boy, we discern properly, and life is going to be awfully, awfully good. But faith produces an obedience that God blesses and leads and guides with. That's the second lesson. The third...
There's just one thought I'd like to share with you.
Quickly.
Changed his mind.
Yeah, which means we have to be very careful with the words that we speak, and we can have doubts and we can have uncertainties, but let's take them to the Lord before we vocalize them to the people around us, because it can really do harm and damage. Thank you, Barb. The final point that I want to bring up is this, is faith overcomes adversity. How many of you know that obeying God at times can be inconvenient, if not downright problematic? Just because we've heard a clear word from the Lord does not mean it's going to be we're tiptoeing through the tulips and life is going to be wonderful and everything's going to be easy. All right? What adversity did Joseph and Mary have to overcome by being obedient to God? Joseph heard clearly, Mary heard clearly, and they have no more doubt, and they have a clear sense of direction of what they are to do. So when adversity comes, it's not going to throw them off course, because they've heard so clearly and they are focused. So what adversity did Joseph and Mary have to overcome? Here are some possibilities. I believe that in their own little community that they were highly criticized. For anyone that knew that Mary came back pregnant, imagine the rumor mill. There was probably a loss of reputation and standing in the community. It probably hurt, if not totally destroyed, Joseph's woodworking business. They had to pick up and leave not only their home, but their country on a moment's notice. Imagine what that would be like. If any of you have traveled outside of the United States, if at a moment's notice you had to leave, you had to pick up and go now. You didn't have a chance to say goodbye to everybody. You didn't have a chance to bring closure. You didn't have a chance to process it mentally. But you just had to pick up and go now. You realize, I don't know about you, maybe you guys are wired differently than me. That would be very unsettling to me. But yet, Joseph and Mary were obedient. Which meant by moving to a foreign country on a moment's notice, that their future became very uncertain. I imagine that they wondered if and when that they'd ever go home again. And again, if it's hard to connect to this if you haven't been outside of the country for any length of time, but my first trip to Africa, I was already looking forward to coming home before I left, you know? And when you deal with something that is very foreign to you, you long for what is familiar. You long for family and friends and everything that's familiar. And Joseph and Mary walked away from all of it, not knowing if they'd ever see it again. Now think about this. Think about if you had to pick up and move to Mexico or Canada just like that, not knowing if you'd ever see any of your extended family again. How easy would that be? And then maybe the biggest challenge was the responsibility of raising a child of such great influence and significance. Imagine the responsibility. Imagine how much they freaked out when they lost Joseph and Jesus in Jerusalem when he was a boy. And the responsibility of raising that child had to be great. But yet Joseph and Mary's example teach us that faith can overcome adversity every single time. Because they heard clearly, and that produced within them an active faith. And they walked forward and they obeyed with such a confidence that any obstacle seemed very minor in comparison to staying the course. Faith will cause us to stay the course of whatever it is that God has called us to do. But if we focus on the adversity, which is fueled by doubt can cause us to abandon it. Let's face it, we do the right thing, there will be challenges, right? You know, and the day and the hour in which we live, it's becoming less and less popular to walk out our faith in America. And it's going to require us to stay the course like never before and to be faithful to what we know to be true. If you have doubt starting to linger, get into the Word. See what God wants to say to you through His Word. Listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. I love these scriptures in 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18. We see that doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees the outcome. Paul just described in earlier in 2 Corinthians 4 much of the problems he went through, much of the adversity, much of the torture and the punishment he went through as a result of being a believer in Christ. And he goes on to say, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. He doesn't look at the adversity. He looks at what God is maturing and developing in him. For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We would do well when there's adversity in our life to remember these verses. I know when I was suffering terribly with all my joints, I didn't know what was happening in my body. The pain level in my body was so tremendous it was at one point where when I was done preaching, I did not know if my body would handle going down these two steps to get to the chair. And pain was sucking the life out of me. And I remember these scriptures and it gave me so much comfort. And I don't believe that God wanted me to live in all this pain for the rest of my life. But if for some reason that was part of His plan, I was willing to accept it, knowing it's but for a moment. And I don't believe it was part of His plan. But my point is, no matter what we're going through, understand it's only momentary. And when we get perspective, when we get God's perspective, it will cause faith to rise within us. It will cause a course of action to take place in our life, one that is in obedience to what God has. And then when the adversity comes, regardless of what it is, faith will see the outcome. Faith can see beyond that. And the Christmas story reveals two people walking in faith. Joseph and Mary. All these obstacles, they heard, they obeyed, they overcame. What does your life story reveal? Are you a person that is walking in faith? In a way that you've heard, you're obeying, and you're overcoming. Because if you don't hear, you won't have the faith to obey or the strength to overcome. So it's so important that we go back. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And rather than waiting for that, hopefully that angel to come and convince us, we got the Word of God 24/7. We got the Holy Spirit abiding within us to direct us and lead us. God wants His people to be people of faith. He wants us to be people who walk in obedience and people who overcome adversity. That's us, folks. You know, and the Christmas story is just a reminder that there's faith. It's a story of faith and one that we can learn from. And I just want to leave you with this challenge that we hear clearly, we obey confidently, and we look past the obstacles to the outcome. And we overcome the adversity. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the lessons of faith that Joseph and Mary teach us. Lord, I pray that we would be a people, Lord, that is positioned to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, and not just on a one-time thing, but, Lord, that we would live a life of faith, one that any time doubt would begin to try to creep up in us, that, Lord, that we'd not entertain that doubt, but rather we would go to prayer to hear the voice of your Spirit, Lord, that we would open your word and see what your word has to say about what is trying to cause doubt within us. And Lord, when logic clashes with your word, help us, Father, to choose your word every time. And Lord, allow hearing clearly to stir that faith within us, to move us to obedience. And Lord, that we know in the midst of that obedience that at times there'll be wonderful victory, there'll be great joy, there'll be tremendous fruit. But at times there will be some adversity. And Lord, help us to be overcomers of that adversity and understand that we're here but for a moment of time. And Lord, we look forward to that day where we can see you face to face. But until then, help us to be found faithful in all that you've called us to do. I want to ask you this morning, if you're here and you're struggling with doubt, maybe it's a doubt of that God can save you. Maybe it's a doubt of that God really loves you. Maybe you doubt his grace and his mercy. Maybe you doubt this issue of speaking in tongues or tithing, or you can just fill in the blank of what it is. But if doubt is just trying to overwhelm you, I would like to pray for you that you would position yourself to hear clearly from the Lord, to address those doubts directly in a way that would cause faith to rise, to increase, and doubt to decrease. If you're battling doubt of any kind, the Lord knows what it is. I just want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. What you're saying is, Lord, I want to hear from you regarding this doubt. Thank you. Several hands gone up. Lord, I pray for each and every one that raised their hand this morning. Lord, they've acknowledged that there are doubts in their life. Father, I pray that just as Joseph went to bed full of doubt and heartbreak and so many other emotions swirling in his mind, Lord, I pray that you would reveal your truth to everyone that raised their hand. Lord, in a way that would get past all the emotion, all the doubt that they wrestle with in their mind, that you would speak clearly to them in a way that would cause great faith to rise up within them, that doubt would have to flee, and that faith would bring clarity of direction, that they would walk in obedience, and Father, that they would see the fruit and the joy and all the good things that come from it. And Lord, in those times of obedience that we have to face adversity, Lord, let them understand that you got their back. Lord, that their faith is strong enough to stay the course and to work through that adversity to accomplish greater things for you. So, Father, bless them. Remove all doubt, we pray this morning, for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Let's stand and worship the Lord as we go out.